Sandra, you asked me to do a second part of the Minding Mind story, the understanding of the mind. And I'd like to address a specific part of that. It is a bit the area between the story of Minding Mind and curing criminality. In essence, it is the exploration of conflicts that people have and the resolution of conflicts. And it's really funny that I started to look at this in a very peculiar and strange way last week, because I suddenly discovered that in tetrionics there is something very fundamental which I found to be quite unexpected. Which is implied in tetrionics, and it is called the right-hand rule of electricity. It connects the flow of the current and the rotation of the electromagnetic field, of the magnetic field around it. And I suddenly was realizing that there seems to be something very peculiar going on at that level. And so you find me in the middle of the exploration of this kind of wonderment of where that will bring me in a totally new understanding of the processes in mind, but also in the interaction between people. Curing criminality is based on the application of the principle of integral healthcare to the conflicts between people. Curing criminality goes by the supposition that crime is a disease, and in our body we can see how health is directly related to disease, but between our bodies we experience that at peace in its relationship to crime. To reiterate that, health and disease in our body is the complement of peace and crime between our bodies, and that's the whole foundation of this project Curing Criminality. That also means that the conflicts that we have between people, and crime is say more severe case of that, can be compared to the diseases in our body. It also means that the cures that we have in our body can be applied to the crimes that exist in humanity. In the description of integral healthcare, I already described that in our body we can see how there is this, say, collapse of the vector of state, the decay of health into disease and death, in what's called the cascade of disease. And that is the transition from health to adaptation to compensation to decompensation. In other terminology, that would be from health to being ill to being sick to being dead. Those principles of curing criminality on the one side and healing health care and healing humanity on the other side are directly based on what happens in the cells. And that is the wonderful work of Bert Vervain, who helped see that health within the body is based on the feed-forward and the feedback loop between the cells. The first cell of our body, it divides, but as it divides, the internal cell cycle is unfolded as well, turned inside out as well. And from that moment on, there's not just the internal cell cycle from the first cell now in the first and the second cell, but there is also this feed forward and feedback loop between those two cells. That means that the cells between them attune to each other, and the project Mathemusics elaborates that and describes how all of these feed forward and feedback loops between the cells are the foundation of cell communication, which is actually the foundation of health, and in its core, the feed forward and feedback loop is what we know as physiology and psychology. Physiology is when we look at it as the exchange of molecules between one cell and the other, and psychology is when we realize that every molecule has an electromagnetic spectrum and is thus a form of information. As I mentioned elsewhere, we need to understand that our body is an electromagnetic field, just like the rest of the universe, and that matter is simply molecules stuck together by bound electrons. Molecules are simply atoms stuck together by electron oscillation. They're sharing electrons. Atoms are clusters of tetrions stuck together in a very specific way because the quantum field movement put them there. And that's where we then can make the link to tetrionics, which essentially says that we need to understand that the universe is based on quanta, and that is then the foundation from which we need to consider how everything in the universe is organized and built. The foundation of tetrionics is a logical conclusion of, say, 2.5 centuries of scientific development. Science needed about 1.5 centuries to get kick-started, and then 1 century ago it was clear that matter is composed of molecules, which are composed of atoms, which are composed on the dynamics of quanta. And Newton already had this understanding of matter, and then with some adaptations, the mathematics involved was also applicable to understand molecules, and that was the work of Albert Einstein. He was the guy who formulated the zitterbewegung of the molecules, which deepened the understanding of the composition of matter. And at around the same time, Max Planck had discovered that molecules are composed of atoms, and that in the atoms it is the quantum that actually determines how the state of atoms will change. So tetrionics took that conclusion as a starting point of an inverse engineering of science, and by that approach it is clear that the quantum is an electromagnetic charge in motion. As a result, it will have a magnetic field around it. By the interaction of these electromagnetic fields, these charges can connect, and the quanta can form photons. The quanta and photons can create something called tetrions. Actually, they're four quanta forming a tetrahedron. They're like a cat chasing its own tail. These are the inert foundations of matter. It is a unit element of matter. Tetrionics then shows that these tetrions are electrically charged on the surface, even though structurally inert. That means that all of the matter in the universe is structurally inert, but can be moved by the electromagnetic field. In that sense, you have the direct parallel to what religion described. They call that spirit. So if you replace the term of the quantum field by spirit, and some people use the word God, the generator, operator, the destroyer, the foundation of the quantum field, instead of the word spirit, and then you can see that, say, that God, the quantum field, forms tetrions and will move tetrions. That God created the universe and moves the universe. It means that God, or the quantum field, is an electromagnetic information field, which is at the foundation of everything. So when I'm looking at what happens in the body, in this perspective of integral healthcare, or what happens in humanity, from that perspective of human humanity, then it is evident that these parallels between health in humans and peace in humanity are easy to see. But in the same way, it's also possible to realize that disease in humanity and conflicts or criminality in humanity are also parallels of each other. And that is also the consequence of the work of Bert Verveen in this feed forward and the feedback loop between any two cells formed in the body out of the divisions of the zygote. And that what we know as the feed forward and the feedback loop in the cells, the foundation of the cell communication, as I mentioned, we can describe that as a physiology, but we can also understand that that is in fact the psychology. So when we are looking at it at the level of the bound electron and the oscillating electron, then it's called the physiology. We're dealing with matter and we're dealing with molecules. But at the moment that we're dealing with electron jumps and photon jumps, we are dealing with atoms and with the quantum field, then we call it psychology. That's also the reason why I created this concept of the psychosomatic engine or the psychosomatic principle, that in the cell communication we can see that there is a exchange of and by molecules, but actually it has a physical part, it has a chemical part, it has an electromagnetic part, and it has a quantum photonic part. You can see that in the cells using proteins, which are physical, they use enzymes, which are chemical, they use hormones, which are electromagnetic, and they use pigments, which work with photons. It means that the whole psychophysiology, the psychology and the physiology, is one part of this electromagnetic field in 4 degrees of density, the light field, the electromagnetic radio field, the chemical electron flows, and the physical rigid structures, which is precisely what the alchemist had already described. So Bert Verveen pointed out that that's what happens in the body, and I was then able to see that what he called physiology is also psychology. But then, of course, if you turn that around and see that what happens between cells also happens between people, then you can see that the counterpart of the physiology and the psychology is the sociology and the ecology. Actually, the counterpart of the psychology is the sociology, the exchange of information between people, based on the exchange of information between cells. And likewise, the ecology is the counterpart of the physiology, the interaction of the cells with matter, and ecology, the interaction of humanity with Earth. In that sense, there is then a very clear understanding that what we do as sociology and ecology in humanity, we experience as physiology and psychology within us. But it means that we can correlate everything that happens between people to what happens within people. And that's where, in this description of mind, I then go into the exploration of that part of the psychology, for the simple reason that by the principle of alchemy, or by the principle of, say, classical physics, relativity physics, quantum physics, and field theory physics, we can now see that the problems of humanity, criminality, can be solved by understanding the physiology in the body. The physiology in the body we can describe in terms of the psychology in the body, and that is where the story of mind falls in place. And so I had already explored these bridges in understanding, and I realized that the principle of alchemy, which nowadays we call system theory, fully apply, because ecology and sociology, as the counterpart of physiology and psychology, are one quartet in the same way as we have matter, molecules, atoms, and quanta. So that means that when I try to resolve the problems of criminality, I can actually use the principles of the body and the physiology, which are quite well understood nowadays. And in the physiology, we actually need to realize that what Bert Vervain described for the interaction between the cells need to be complemented by what Hans Selye described as the inner action within the cells. We cannot look at them separately. So psychology and physiology is connected, ecology and sociology is connected, but social ecology is in the same way connected to psychophysiology. But these are all different aspects of the same principles, in the same way that ice, water, vapor and steam are four different phases of water. If the environment changes, then the degree of coherence will change as well. And that is also the foundation of this principle, which I call the zipper of manifestation, where you can see that solid, liquid, gas and plasma is actually just an electromagnetic field with different types of tying up the electrons in the story. If the electrons are undefined, the alchemist would call that fire, we would call that plasma. At the moment that there is an electron cloud, and astronomy calls that the Van Oort cloud, and in physics they would call that the atomic electromagnetic field, then from there on we can see that there are electric currents between these material and non-material forms, which is then what we call the chemical level or the electron flow level, or in astronomy that would be the principle of the planets, of the stars, lightning, ball lightning constellation structures. It's all about the flow of electricity in there. And then once you solidify that, you get matter, and Earth, of course, is an example of that in astronomy. But you always see the same principles at work. So what I'm trying to resolve is criminality. What I'm using is the principles of healing. In order to do that, I need to understand physiology, because that's where we see how healing can work in the body. But I need to understand it at a deeper level, because it is not about healing the cells, but about healing the information flow between the cells. In our body, we can very explicitly see that the cells form the materials of the body. They actually produce the materials of the body. So we need to not be fooled by looking at the body as physical. We need to realize that anatomy is the consequence of physiology. So I don't have to look at the physical forms and the change of the physical forms as is done by somatic Western medicine. I can look at the processes of the cells and the organ as is done in Eastern medicine. Again, remember, I'm talking about solving criminality in Earth. So I can go to the deeper level of acupuncture, which is about the attunement of the cells between them, because the cells within them decide which molecules they will make and what kind of conversation they are upholding between them. But those moments of decisions within them, say the psychology, is much more important than the physiology. So the physiology is a consequence of the psychology of the cell, and in medicine that's called the regulatory system, which is dealt with acupuncture. But there is still that deeper level that the cells can take those decisions because they have information of what's going on at the deepest level. So the cells work with the information, and that's where I realized how simple everything becomes by this model of tetrionics, because then I can see that at the deepest level of the cells we are dealing with that universal information field. People call that God, other people call it spirit, Kelvin Abraham calls it the quantum field. And with his description of the quantum field as formulated in tetrionics, everything falls in place. because then you can see that it is the quantum field which provides the information to the cells by which they can slice and splice atoms, as a result of which they can produce and transform molecules. As a consequence, they can create and solidify the physical body. So you can actually see this whole principle of alchemy from fire to air to water to earth, that it is the quantum field that determines the atomic energy production in the cells, which then produces the time cycle, the process flow of the physiology of the body, which then leads to the spatial structure of the anatomy of the body. And it's really funny, because what I describe in this sentence is about 12 or 15 or 20 years of work, because I first had to realize that the relationship between consciousness, energy, time and space is actually precisely that. It is directly the same as within us, consciousness, the regulatory system, the physiology and the anatomy of the body. So in that sense, I had all of those tools. The Tetrionic just confirmed that by saying that it is the quantum field which then can produce the tetrions, which is the unit element of matter. But between the quantum field and the tetrions, the quantum is in tetrions a single triangle, and the tetrion is a four triangle stuck together in a tetrahedron. So you can see, you can actually calculate that somehow you need to go from one to four, and that quantum is the deepest level. Then two quanta is what you have as a photon in tetrions, which is the foundation of energy before it turns into energy in tetrionics. And then you have a special kind of level in tetrionics where you are dealing with bosons, which is, let's say, the three quantum state. And that's a tricky one, because in tetrionics the quantum, the single quantum, one triangle, is very easy to identify. You can draw the triangle and there you have the quantum. To connect that into a photon, which is two quanta connected back to back by a bonding of the magnetic field, is a logical step, even though you have to understand some deeper principles, and that's where the right-hand rules comes into place, and I'll address that later on. And that's also why that is so fundamental, to understand the role of the right-hand rule in there. So from one quantum, one triangle, to two quantum, two triangles, two quanta, two triangles, to four triangles, four quanta, a tetrion, requires a step in between of three quanta. And these three quanta are, let's say, a sort of unstable kind of solution. Those are bosons. They are, let's say, a photon with the outboard engine. So there is a different level of coherence in the quantum field. The quantum has a direction which goes one way. The photon goes in both ways. The photon is an expansion. It's something that builds up, something that can extend, a shock wave. The quantum is just a phase and a phase change. The photon is the equivalent of a shock wave. And then at a third level, with the three quanta, the three triangles, a different level comes into play, where things are already very defined in the information level, in the coherence of the quanta, but they are not tangible yet. It is, let's say, the indecisive phase before tetrions come to be. And again, one of those parallels come to view, that in that relationship between one quantum, two quanta, three quanta, and four quanta, we actually have the same kind of principle as that of the transition from baby to child to adolescent to adult. And most people might be aware that adolescence is a transition phase. In many tribes, it is the initiation phase, where something happens where a different kind of connectedness to self and to everything else comes into play. That as an adult, you know how to operate your own integrity and coherence. You can be sovereign. But as a adolescent, in puberty, you're not there yet. You may be autonomous, you may be able to provide for yourself, but you're not able to define yourself yet, because you still need to discover how that can be done within the environment. So at that third level, let's say that's a level of adolescence of the whole process of creation, it is also the level of adolescence in humanity. In system theory, it's called a third order system. And it's a transition, just like that puberty initiation rite which so many cultures have. That is the domain where the conflicts arise. And so when I was looking in the description of mind, on how to get clarity, on how we get clarity in our thinking, I realized that I need to be able to address that transition zone from notions to concepts to ideas to thoughts. Again, 1, 2, 3, 4. So the notion is like the quantum. The concept is like the photon. Something is falling in place, but it's not yet tangible. Then the idea, or the whole flow of the idea, of the whole transition of ideas, is this transition zone. It's like this bubbling cauldron, or this current in oceans, or the jet stream in the air, the Gulf Stream in the ocean, the rivers in the landscape, the electron of the telephone conversation amidst the electrons of the copper wire of the telephone cable. At that level of ideas, there is this same kind of undefinedness which we also see in the body materials. At thoughts, for example, is the product of thinking. So thoughts are like the churned milk or the butter that comes out of that process of ideation, of the processing of ideas. And so while I'm looking at mind, I keep on cross-referencing to the physiology of the body, because the psychology is the dual, the counterpart, the other form of the physiology. And so when I look at the relationship between ideas and other ideas, it is like this relationship between the electron of the telephone conversation, between the electrons of the copper telephone wire. And then that is precisely what we find in the body when we see how the body cells produce body materials. So in order to solve criminality, in order to be able to address the principle of the forming of ideas in our mind, I can then use this principle of the production of body materials by the living cells. And there you can see that in our body we have, Alchemy Revisited, four types of materials. We have the bone hard, fixed in time. Actually no, the bones are completely being re-sculpted all the time by the living cells. Then we also have the connective tissue, we have the organ tissue, we have the tissues. would seem to be defined but flexible dynamic. So compared to the bones, they're more active. But then we also have the vessels and the neurons and all these communication processes. And then suddenly we see that it's not so much about the materials, but in the way the materials are a waveguide, a bridge, a tunnel, a tube, for the flow of information, the flow of food in the gut, the flow of blood in the heart, the flow of information in the head, or the flow of nutrients and information in the cells. And those are parallel principles. So the gut redistributes the food in the same way as the heart redistributes the blood and oxygen, and the brain redistributes information so that the cell can redistribute experience and actually, by the Lipton principle, build it into the cell, so that the vibrations from the sensor protein and the portal protein into the linking protein can be added by the DNA mantle protein into the DNA. And that's how, over the millions of years, the cells were able to build extended consciousness in an invisible, tangible form. So life creates the DNA, not the other way around. And in that way, you can see that information matters. Literally, information has become material. And that's also what we then see in these body materials, that in the bone, and in the organs, and in the ducts, and in the cells, we are dealing with different forms and different levels of information processing. And that is fully related to how we process information from the sensory cell, which is a point, through the neuron, which is a line, via the plexus, the neural plexus, which is a plane, and the retina of the eye is an example of that, into the brain, which is three-dimensional. And so you can see that the sensory cell works with a release, a charge discharge in response of a specific kind of information. In mathematics, that's called the Dirac pulse. That then is relayed through the neuron, which is like a series of dominoes falling over. And the propagation signal is then Fourier code. That then goes into the neural plexus, which is like one of those large constructs of dominoes with multiple pathways. And that's where the programming of information takes place via Moiré matrix. And then it goes into the brain as a Gabor hologram. And those four levels of the point, the line, the plane, and the volume, which is zero-dimensional, one-dimensional, two-dimensional, three-dimensional, is what, in a way, we also see in the body materials. And realize I'm still exploring how ideas amongst ideas can be processed and result into thoughts, but also how that can go wrong and then create madness or criminality. So in order to understand criminality and disease and madness, I need to understand what's going on in the mind, in that level of ideas amongst ideas amongst ideas amongst ideals. And again, that's the level where the electron of the telephone conversation and the electron of the copper wire, how do you tell them apart? And in our body, we can see that in these body materials. And so we have the piezoelectric materials. The bone is an example of that. We have the liquid crystal materials. In fact, all of the organs are examples of that. The bile juices specifically, those were the example of the liquid crystal. The kidney stones, gallbladder stones are examples of that. So that's the organic process. And then we have the transducer transponder level, which is that of the transistor. And in the transistor, the electromagnetic field can determine and switch the flow in the material. It's like you have a railway track, and something can throw the switch, and then instead of going the one way, the current will go the other way. Diodes are example of that. LEDs are based on that. And the neurons and the blood vessels and the connective tissues in the body operate like that. That's the whole level where the body materials are the waveguide, wave ducts for the flow of information in the body. And that's also the level of the electrophysiology, where you can see that our body is actually one integral supercomputer. All of the materials in the body are very precisely deposited and very precisely created so that they will respond in a very specific manner to changes of information in the consciousness field in the body. And that's also why the body temperature is so carefully maintained, because all of these body materials need to be kept at a tipping point that a very small change of information will lead to a very definite change in the material organization, the physicality of the body. So in that sense, our whole body is like a cloud of suspended electrons, a bit like a tornado, which you can't see because it has sucked up the water, or over the land it has sucked up the earth. But it's only because the tornado turns that it will have that structure. And at that level of the transistor, and at the level of the electrical flow through the material bodies, you can see that that is where the flow of the information and the electricity in the body actually determines and defines the flow forms of the body itself. But in order to understand that, you need to go one level deeper, because at the deeper level you will see that it is actually the information field that matters, and the corresponding form of material there is that of intelligent gel. It is a material which can totally lose its form but can recuperate its form if the electromagnetic field has that kind of intensity that will allow for that. And that is the principle which you see in all these four forms of body materials. The intelligent gel is where you see that information matters. In the transistor, you can see that the direction of the flow of information matters. In the liquid crystal, you can see that the flow literally matters or dissolves, what the alchemist called coagulo dissoluo, that to dissolve or to coagulate. That's what Hans Selyde described in his formulation of the inflammation inhibitors and the inflammation promoters. It's the liquid crystal level of all the interfaces in the body. So fever resets the solidity of your body, but as a result it will reset the information, the thought processes within it. Again, remember, I'm still addressing the solving of criminality in Earth by the principle of healing disease in humans, and that requires the understanding of what happens at that level where information matters and why does the materialization of the information fail. But first, before I can go into that, I need to add the fourth form of matter, which is the piezoelectric. And in the piezoelectric, you can actually see, people use that in spark generators, as in lighters. If you push the crystal, the electrons within it are pushed out, for the simple reason that the electrons are so tightly packed that if you physically press the say copper wire, then the telephone conversation was stored within it, it pops out. The electrons which are in the crystal lattice are pushed out, or the other way around, if you pump electrons into that crystal, the crystal will pump itself up. So that's a very nice example of seeing how the whole body is an electromagnetic field, and that it determines how the electricity is operated within that material, that you can actually see, say, how God creates the universe, how electricity defines matter, or in a more deeper sense, how the quantum field forms and moves matter. And that's the whole core of the story. The quantum field moves matter. So the things which are physical are basically immaterial. It's a really neat paradox, because the physical is just the footprint of the dinosaur on the sand. It's the consequence of the way the quantum field, or let's call it the spirit field, or let's call it God, or let's call it Manitou, it is the immaterial quantum field which will organize the material domain, and it does that by two forms of flow, the linear flow and the circular flow. And in the cells you can see that. When the cells work with the atomic nuclear energies, they actually don't work with the atomic nuclear energies, but they do work with the linear chem flow, as it is called in tetrionics, and the circular BEM flow, as it is called in tetrionics. So the linear quantum flux is like a hose pipe of water, or like a laser beam, and it can slice and splice tetrions, because that quantum flow can go between tetrions, as a result of which it can affect the bonding between tetrions by the strong force, by the weak force, by the derived force, because the strong force is when the tetrions are stuck one surface of one tetrion to the other surface of the other tetrion, and always you need to have the opposite charges at that place. So when you have a plus charged side of a tetrion and a minus charged side of the tetrion, they will bond. But by shooting a linear chem flux between them, you can pry them apart. In a way, you're actually displacing a quantum of the quantum flux for a quantum of the tetrion. So in a very fundamental way, you're actually dismantling and reassembling the tetrion, so that it appears that you're moving the tetrion, but actually you switched one of the quantum in one of the surfaces. And then when you do that, you can get like charges momentarily in the tetrion, as a result of which they push apart, the splicing. And if you do the inverse, of course, you can then have, from slicing to splicing, you can slicing, you separate the splicing, you put them together, and that's how the cells then can operate these tetrions. But in order to reposition the tetrions, they cannot use the linear force flow flux. They need to use the circular flow. They need to turn it around. They need to put it in a different position. So the cells work with this linear chem flow to slice and splice the tetrions and the atoms, making the molecules. And they also use the BEM circular flow to reposition that. So I already understood those principles. And thanks to tetrionics, we now can go to the deepest level of it all. With tetrions, you can understand how cells are doing it by understanding that this is how cells do it internally, that they use the chem flow and the BEM flow, the linear flow and the circular flow, to slice and splice the atoms or to reposition the atoms, as a result of which, in combination, the cells are able to form and transform molecules. And those molecules are then used to form the body. So then we can see that the cells are supercomputers. The whole body is a network of linked supercomputers. All of them work with quantum flux. So they operate quantum charges, And that is also the foundation of the principle of freedom of choice. A cell can invert the quantum charge of whatever. As a result, it can negate what goes on around it. As a result, it can inverse the polarity of the membrane. And as a result, it can turn an association into a dissociation and the other way around. And that's the whole principle of health and healing. Health, the association works. Disease, the association dissociates. Peace, the association works. Crime, the association turns into a dissociation. And so the principles are all simple. But there is the need to describe that. And with what I have just put in place, and it's really funny because so many things come together, but ultimately it's so simple, we can see that what the cells do at the subatomic level, where the cells work with atomic nuclear energies, we understand that the cells actually use tetrionics explicitly, because they use the linear flow and the circular flow to relate the quantum to the tetrion. And that's where we then see that that connecting bridge of that relationship from the quantum to the linear flow to the circular flow to the tetrion, which is actually in principle the same as the single quantum, the double quantum, the triple quantum, and the quadruple quantum. The quadruple quantum, the tetron, is fixed. That's material, and that's where the universe starts to curdle, and that's where the electromagnetic fields can then start to move matter. The matter itself is inert, but the quantum field can move it, and as a result, the tetrions can cluster. Had this whole subatomic particle zoo comes out of that beautifully depicted in tetrionics. Out of that comes the relationship between the electron, the proton, and the neutron, in had the deuteron, which is the core of every atom. An atom is composed of between 1 and 120 deuterons, combinations of neutron, proton, and electron, and they are stacked in a very definite way. So when the cells work with that, they actually slice and splice these constellations and reorganize them, and thereby having the electromagnetic field of the atoms link up so that they can make a more extensive sing-song in what we call a molecule, but even extend that in the production of forms of matter. So the cells are working with that relationship from the single atom, the double atom, the triple atom, to the quadruple atom. The single, double, and triple atom are not physical. They're pure quantum field dynamics. And in that sense, you can say that the single atom is the quantum. The single quantum is the core of it all. The double quantum is the light field, but it's also the chem flow. They're in a way interchangeable. They're different perspective on the kind of extending of consciousness or extending of coherence from the single quantum to the double quantum. And in that same way, under conditions, you can then go from the double quantum to a triple quantum, or from a single quantum to a triple quantum. And that's why you then have this principle of rotation come in, circulation come in. And that's where I can then go down to that level where I started with. I say, well, there is this principle of the right-hand rule in the universe, which seems to be much more important than I have ever imagined. And I have the notion now that the right-hand rule has to do with the relationship between people associating or dissociating in peace or in crime. It also has to do with the way the cells associate or dissociate in what's called health of disease. As I described, the coherence of the of the cells is based on the information of the cells, which is what I describe in Mathemusics and other projects. That's actually the information in and between the cells which is coherent or not. So that is to say the electromagnetic circulation in the body, or let's call it the radio field of the body. In Mathematical music it's actually regarded as a kind of symphonic music in the body, because it's all vibration within vibrations. That's also that level of ideas within ideas. And then in that level of vibrations within vibrations, it is necessary to see how that is based on the fundamental quantum principles as described in tetrionics. And in tetrionics you can see that the foundation of it is so superbly simple, because the whole universe, as shown in tetrionics and as demonstrated by tetrionics, is based on this principle of a tetrion, which in tetrionics is a singular triangle which has a plus charge on the one side, a minus charge on the other side. It has a linear momentum because it has an implied motion. It has a circular momentum because of the way the thing hangs together. And it is in looking at why that happens that I suddenly realize that this right-hand rule is so important. And this is where we now go to the foundation of everything. In a very simple description, which is so universal and so uniform that everybody already knows it. Alchemy describes it, system theory describes it, the Eigot principle describes it, the integration of generation, operation and destruction. It is all about what happens when you have a duon in motion. And this is where I need to explain a couple of things. And this explanation is actually the key that holds everything together in tetrionics, but also the key to understanding how the quanta can form photons, can form bosons, can form tetrions, because there's already something in the quantum that lies at the foundation of that all. So this is where I was looking at this principle of the tetrionic quantum and trying to make sense of it. Because in tetrionics, the quantum is simply presented as a conclusion, in a way, of something which at the deeper level of mind, we're still talking about mind, we're still talking about curing criminality, which is also solving problems. Curing criminality, still solving problems, problem solving, it's the same principle. So in tetrionics, Kelvin Abraham had formulated this equilateral triangle, but I needed to, in my mind, understand where it came from. And in the description of tetrionics, it is an equilateral triangle. The one side is plus, the other side is minus. From the bottom of the triangle to the top of the triangle, there is a linear momentum. That's actually the direction of motion of the quantum. And on the quantum, there is also a rotational momentum. It's as if you have a vortex going in from the top to the surface of the... The tetrionic quantum is two-dimensional, it's flat. But this rotation comes from somewhere, so there must be like a vortex coming down into the quantum and then going out on the other side of the quantum, and that's precisely what you would see. The vortex will rotate in the same direction going from the one side to the other, but if you flip the quantum over, it will appear as if the vortex has changed direction, and that's called the rotational momentum. So I needed to understand for myself, well, how does that work? And I needed to bring it back to the foundation, because in the tetrionic quantum, actually the core of the quantum is the zero point. And if you look at the description of the equilateral triangle, then at the bottom of the triangle there is the zero point. That zero point moves in the straight line to the top of the triangle, and at the side, at the bottom of the triangle, you have a north pole and a south pole. So in my mind, I needed to bring those back to first principles, and I could easily do that by seeing what Calvin Abraham had realized. He had realized that if you have an electromagnetic charge, then when it moves, it will create a magnetic wake. A charge in motion will create a magnetic effect. And that's where the right hand rule comes into play. That if you have the right hand and you point your index, the index is the pointing finger. If you point it somewhere and you have your thumb going up, then you can imagine that the thumb would be, say, the copper wire, and the curled fingers will then indicate the rotation that is associated with that. And in that sense, if you have a charged particle and it moves, then by the right hand rule, it will define how the orthogonal side of the magnetic wave will need to go out. So you link the electric and the magnetic, which is basically the thumb and the index finger, and by that you will have a rotation which already connects them. So in that sense, it appears now to me as if the right hand rule is right at the foundation of the universe. And when an electric particle moves, then at a right angle you will have the magnetic component going out. But what's typical of tetrionics is that it is not a charged particle, but it is doubly charged particles, a duon. It's a plus and a minus charge at the same time. It's like a little vortex turning in on itself. The one side rotates the one way from outside, and the other side rotates the other way, but they're connected in this, say, dump bell shape of what the Buddhists depict as the farge. It is this kind of lemniscate figure eight, but then in three dimensions. So that as the smallest point, the zero point of the universe, if you put it in motion, then the one charge will have a sideways effect going the one way, but the other charge will have a sideways effect going the other way. So if that point moves along a line, then on the bottom of the line, the magnetic field will move out in the one direction, but from the other side of the charged duon, it also will go out in the other direction. And then, of course, you will have a wake which is triangular, just like the wave behind the ship. But just like the vortex behind an aeroplane, the rotation from the one wing will be in the other sense of the rotation of the other wing. In hydrodynamics or aerodynamics, called the Prandtl street, the vortex, the one-way vortex, there will be a dual set of vortices, one vortex going the one way, one vortex going the other way. That is also where you get the condensed trails of the behind the jet planes, because this vortex then actually organizes the air up to the molecular and submolecular level, and that's where water then can suddenly go from vapor to droplets, and that's what you see as this cloud trailing behind the airplane. So in that sense, this little duon, the double valued electron, a plus and minus charge, when it travels, it will have a wake going sideways to one direction, the other direction, and in doing so, it creates the form of this equilateral triangle, which is the foundation of the work of tetrionics, and it will have this rotational momentum because of the, let's say, right hand rule. The circulatory momentum is already implied in this relationship between the charge, which is double charge, is a plus and a minus, in motion, leading to the relationship that an electrical charge in motion will create a magnetic effect. And that is then what I suddenly realized, that by a right-hand rule, you can actually understand how it comes together and creates the equilateral triangle. But that means that everything that I'm trying to describe in the relationship between the cells and the relationship between people must be based on that relationship between the quantum field and the tetrions. That's the whole foundation of physics. You have physics, which is the structure stuff, and you have physics, which is the quantum field vibrations. The Akasha, or all the cultures have that description of that immaterial phase field, which is at the foundation of everything. And Tetrionis has very neatly and very elegantly shown that indeed the phase field, where we can use physics as the descriptive term, is the foundation of the formation of the material field, where physics is the operational term. So we have physics and physics, and with Tetrionics I can now see how at the core of the transition between physics and physics, we have the foundation of the relationship between psychology and physiology. So what I described as the psychosomatic principle in our body is actually based on this relation between physics and physics at the tetrionic quantum level. So what I'm looking for now is the understanding of how this can help me to understand what happens at that level of ideas amongst ideals, this transition form in mind after a notion has become a concept and turned into ideas, and then will form thoughts. So the thought is the third of this information organization process. The concept is like the ingestion of it. The notion level is the digestion part of it, and then the assimilation or dissimulation, the third level, is where the ideas then are processed, and it is also the transition from, say, a quantum at the level of the notions, an atom at the level of the concepts, a molecule at the level of the ideas, and matter at the level of thought. And so in that sense, in our mind, we are doing this process of condensation of information. We are structuring information by precisely the same principle as by which the universe forms matter. In astronomy, you would say you have the void, or the quantum field, and out of that comes this vapor-like Van Oort cloud with charged particles. It's the atomic level. Out of that comes the molecular level of the processing of time in the sun, like the ball lightning, and out of that comes the physical level of the planets. So we always see the same principle. It always has the same pattern, and in tetrionics we can now describe that. So what I'm now out to do, and I'm really glad that I can tell you this whole story, because in telling this story, actually the process is already taking place. So what I'm now working on, and what is working itself while we do this, you see science in action. I call this sciencing. What we are doing now is sciencing. So we are now creating science. We are now creating new understanding. And specifically what I'm addressing now is that level of ideas amongst ideals in our thinking process, in the relationship from notions to concept to ideas to thoughts. Because it is at that level of the ideas amongst ideals where the electron of the conversation and the electron of the copper wire are sort of intermingled. You cannot tell them apart. But that's where we actually redefine our race about the environment. This is what Erwin Schrödinger already said when 100 plus years ago physicists realized that there was something very wrong in the model that they had of reality, because they now understood that reality was not physical as it was described by Newton. By the way, Newton was an alchemist, so you do have to understand that Newton did understand what was going on. He just described it in two parts. He had the physical part and he had the alchemical part. The physical part was related to the physics and the alchemical part was relating to the physics. So Schrödinger and the others, Helmholtz and Weber and had that whole group of scientists realized that reality cannot be physical because it is molecular. But in researching molecules, they found that they were atoms. And in researching atoms, they found that they were dealing with only with protons, neutrons, and electrons. So there was actually no matter there. There were only charges. That's what Schrödinger and the others said, Bohr as well. We now have to reconsider everything differently, because although the whole universe seems to be physical, chemical, electromagnetic, and photonic, or quantum, they were still working on that last bit, we must in a way understand that it's all, let's say, an electromagnetic field, and that the electromagnetic field can somehow become, under conditions, become a bit more fluid, and under some other conditions, some more conditions, can become like solid. But actually the solidity of the universe is not an inherent property. It is not that from solid you get the electromagnetic fields. It can only be the other way around, and because that's what you see when you look at the atoms. Atoms are electromagnetic charges. Okay, they had a bit of a confusion because they first thought they were little buns, and then they thought little balls, and now they came up with this little model of a galaxy, and all of them are models that don't work. There's fundamental flaws in all of those models. Tetrionics resolved all of that. But just play with that idea which they had at that time, that the atom would be like a little gas cloud or a little galaxy of neutrons and protons circled by electrons, like planets around the solar system. Now we know it's not like that. Tetrionics showed that. But it doesn't much matter, because you still have the notion that at the atomic level you only have neutrons, protons, and electrons, which means that you're dealing with electromagnetic fields. And that's where Schrödinger and the others said, well, if the universe is an electromagnetic field and I am composed of matter composed of molecules composed of atoms, then I too am an electromagnetic field. So how does that work, that I'm electromagnetic field in an electromagnetic field, but that the interaction of two electromagnetic fields produces another electromagnetic field? So how can you tell them apart? And that was also the foundation for my research in mathemusics, because if you have two electromagnetic fields and you interweave them, you have a new electromagnetic field that you cannot tell them apart. If you go up in the frequency of the electromagnetic field and look at the light field, you have the same problem. If you have two colors and you mix them, you have a new color, but you do not know what the original colors were. If you go the other way and see that the vibrations can condensate, they can be tangible, then matter is just a solid form of vibration. But if you interact two forms of vibrations, they cannot overlap. You cannot see the combined effect. So again, alchemy. So you have the light field, you have the electromagnetic field, you have something else, and then you have the solid field. In the light field, two colors merge, you cannot tell them apart. In the electromagnetic field, two electromagnetic fields fuse, and as a result they just confuse, because you cannot tell the electromagnetic fields apart anymore. And then you have something else, and then you have the physical, and there you don't have the interaction. You know that it's all there, you know the same principle applies, but there is no interaction that you can see. And so at that third level in between, that's actually where you then have the vibrations of sound. And that is why I went into this concept of mathemusics, because in math and music you can see how the vibrations interplay, a subharmonic, higher harmonic, you keep the notes, but you also see how together they make a combined note, the subharmonic, and they discriminate between them in a superharmonic. So in math and music you can actually tell that apart. So with math and music I can't peer into that level of the ideas of ideals and so on, and that is what I then can explore further, and I'm doing that with Henk Kooi. We're getting really wonderful ideas on what's happening there, and the talk now is actually putting all of that in place. With math and music we can actually look into that level of ideas of ideals, which is actually the electromagnetic field in the body at all levels interplaying with the forms of matter in the body, as the piezoelectric, as the liquid crystal, as the transistor, as the intelligent gel. And that's where we then actually are right in the core of the psychosomatic principle, where we see that physics and physics are the same, but just like alchemy described, there are four different forms of coherence which can arise. Had to come to the conclusion of the story, that is where Tetrionics then says that the different degrees of density of the material physical universe as we see it arises from the immaterial physical universe, where quanta can be put in a linear flow, in a circular flow, and thereby form and move tetrions. And what I discovered now last week was in that story the right hand rule seems to be right at the core of everything, that there is something in the right hand rule, thumb up, index finger out, other's finger curled, that there is something in there which is the foundation of the psychosomatic principle. It's the foundation of the relation between electricity and magnetism. It is the foundation of the difference between the Kempf flow and the Bempf flow, the linear and the circular, and the index finger and the curled fingers. But there is also had the foundation of how the cells in the body hang together and how humans hang together. And so for conflict resolution I now realize that there is something like the right hand rule and the left hand rule, that people who operate the right hand rule, and in Buddhism they don't have that, there's the right hand Buddhism, left hand Buddhism, they will have differences in the attractions and the repulsions. So that I still need to puzzle out a bit more. I'll have to play with the ideas of what is the relationship between the right hand rule and the left hand rule. And essentially in people we have a vertical level where we have choices, decisions, convictions and reflex action, conduct, but we also have a horizontal vector of how we express that. And basically you can call them baby, child, adolescent and adult. It is in a way we expand our axonal radius in what we do. But those two vectors, the vertical and the horizontal, they combine and it appears as if conflicts between people are due to the orientation differences between the left-hand rule and the right-hand rule. So there must be something simple by which people can reverse their polarity. And that's the flip of the quantum in tetrionics, or the freedom of choice principle in the science of life. So I have a bit of exploration to do now, but I'd just like to leave the story with this, with the conclusion that with the idea of the right-hand rule falling in place last week, 10 days ago, while I was looking at the principle of tetrionics, I found how this psychosomatic is based on the physics-physics link, and what I'm going to do now is see how I can look deeper into that field which math and music addresses, of the ideas of ideals and the other way around, because that is where I think I can resolve the conflicts in humanity. That'll be neat.